Well, good evening. I'm Steve Rees, the vicar here, and shall we pray before we have a look together at God's word? Let's pray. Father, thank you very much that you are present with us. Thank you that by your Spirit, through your word, you will speak to us. Open our hearts. Help us to respond in obedience and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have you heard of Matt Weston? Southeast News Monday night reported on this young, bright, hopeful Team GB athlete. He lives in Tunbridge Wells. He is a skeleton riding athlete who hurtles himself down at great speed along an icy track. The news report began by describing the hours of lone sprint work and strength training he's done during lockdown to be ready for this season of the World Cup circuit. And quite frankly, his dedication and commitment is amazing. You see, for Matt, everything else is second place to that one main goal of being the best at his sport. Just like other elite athletes, they sacrifice a regular life for that goal of being victorious, a world-class athlete. It is hugely costly, and it takes discipline, but it may just lead to gold medal success. For people like Matt Weston, the massive cost is worth it. Now, do we think that the cost will be any different as followers of Jesus? Do you know, it's radical. It's life-changing. It changes everything. I wonder, did you know or have you forgotten that being a disciple of Jesus Christ will be costly? In our reading tonight, Jesus confronts us and his disciples back then with the energizing challenge and cost of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ on that path that leads to eternal life. It's summed up in verse 24, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Jesus says there are two ways you can live in this world. He is utterly honest. Only one way of them leads to salvation, to his rescue from hell to heaven, from death to life. I guess you could sum it up, his message, like this: save your life and lose it. Lose your life and save it. Save your life, that is, live your life for yourself by rejecting Jesus, and you'll ultimately, eternally lose your life. Save your life now, you'll lose it when it comes in the future. Or lose your life now as you follow Jesus as Lord. Put him first, bow the knee to him, and eternally you will save it. Save your life and lose it. Lose your life and save it. Now, how does this radical call fit into this passage we had read tonight? Well, it comes after the disciples have grasped the identity of Jesus. You see, to live in this way, we need to get clear on who Jesus is. To get clear on who Jesus is, that's verses 18 to 20. As Adam said, this is a key turning point in this section of the book. As Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Look, there is Jesus, verse 18. He's praying. And then he turns to ask his disciples, "What do the crowd say I am?" They reel it out, verse 19. "Well, enough of what others think." He wants to know what the boys are thinking. He puts his finger on them. He says, "Well, what do you think? Who do you say I am?" Verse 20. You see, they've been with Jesus up close and personal. They heard his teaching. They've watched him do amazing miracles. But have they understood who Jesus is? Have they grasped what all the evidence points to? Friends, this is a key question for all people. Who is Jesus? Who do you say I am? Get this clear. Build your life on it. It is the path to eternal life. Well, Peter answers, verse 20, God's Messiah. That is a title rather than a name. It's the Hebrew word that in Greek is Christ. This is the recognition that Jesus is the one that God promised would come, the forever rescuing King. And this is a big moment, a turning point in Luke's historical record of Jesus' life. And the disciples, by the Spirit of God, through their spokesman Simon Peter, share what they're coming to realize. Well, Jesus, you are God's Messiah. Our lights are coming on. Jesus is the promised, forever rescuing King, foretold in the Old Testament, who had come to save his people. But Jesus knows, as their eyes are being opened by the Spirit of God, that they have much more to learn. And their task will be to proclaim the kingdom, won't it be? To proclaim the Messiah. But they have more to understand about what that's going to look like. How would this Messiah bring rescue and victory? They and we need to get clear on why Jesus came. Verse 21 and 22. You see, Jesus would not be the sort of Messiah that Israel was expecting. He was not going to be a Messiah who would lead him to victory against their Roman oppressors. No, that's why he warns in verse 21 not to tell anyone. They need to fully understand how the Christ, the Messiah, will lead people to victory, how he will save his people. It is a much bigger vision than a political release from Roman oppression. They need to know that Jesus, he will lose his life to save many. Look at verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Being the Messiah, being the Christ, meant the cross. Jesus knew that. That was always God's plan. But the cross is not the whole story. No, on the third day, verse 22, he would be raised. The resurrection was as certain as the crucifixion. The path of the Messiah was planned by God and would be the way that Jesus would save his people from their sins and the punishment they deserved. Saved from death and judgment and hell by the cross, to a new life, to forgiveness, to the new heaven and new earth. God's plan was that Jesus would lose his life to save many. That was the Messiah's path. You see, when you get the identity of Jesus right and his mission clear, you need to hear the call to follow him, to trust him. But that will be costly, Jesus says. So get clear on the cost of following him. Notice, this is not just a message for the first 12 disciples, is it? Look at verse 23. He said to them all. So all those listening then, and all those listening right now. Verse 24, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Save your life now, you'll lose it in eternity. Lose your life now, and you're going to save it forever. You see, when we're confronted by his saving love, his mission, why he came to make the way of pardon and peace with God through his death, that he willingly loses his life on the cross for us in our place, what a gift of grace. He calls for a response to all who hear this news. What will we do with Jesus? Will you live your life for you? Rejecting Jesus and living recklessly as you please, which is, as the Bible calls it, is a sinful way to live. And short term, it may be so attractive, You can do what you like. You can live how you please. No cost. Me first. But Jesus says the stakes are high. Verse 25. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their self? He says you can have everything the world offers in this life, but miss out on the one thing that is eternal. Wasn't it great this week to see Lewis Hamilton in the news, winning his 7th world title as a Formula One driver? He did so well. What a guy. Did you know he's achieved a net wealth of $285 million? He's hugely successful. Imagine having all of that. All that success. And yet, not knowing Jesus, the greatest treasure. And to have all that acclaim, all that success and wealth that this world affords means absolutely nothing when you face your death and you stand before the risen Jesus on the judgment day and you've never known him and you've never trusted him. And on that day, it'll be too late. You will lose your life eternally. As Jesus says in Matthew 25, there's sobering words. Jesus says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If we weigh up the cost of following Jesus and say, no, Jesus, I'm going to live for myself. If we hear his teaching, verse 26, and are ashamed of it and want nothing to do with it because it doesn't fit with our culture or our thinking. If you want to save our reputation and acceptance by others, we want to save our lives in this life and call the shots. If we want to do what we want to do, not what God wants for our lives, well, the eternal consequences are huge. Save your life now and you'll ultimately lose it. But friends, wonderfully, there is another way. It's the way that Jesus walked before us. He loses his life. It is a narrow path of following the Messiah, the Christ, the King. Jesus calls his people in verse 23 to daily take up their cross and follow him. If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. This is not the cross that the one Jesus bears for us. Now, only one cross atones for sin. Only his death saves people. This is the cross of the cost of following Jesus, of denying yourself, of obeying Jesus, of being mocked by the world for following the King, of walking in his holy ways. If you're going to have the gift of life that is to come, of forgiveness and friendship with God now, the glorious certain hope of heaven, then Jesus says, read the small print. Saving faith in our beautiful Saviour Jesus that is genuine and that lasts will be faith that disowns our right to call the shots, that denies the sinful cravings of our hearts, that says, your ways, not mine, that you are the Christ, not me, that you are the Lord, not me. I want to follow you and your words. You know, it's so easy to preach cheap grace. Come to Jesus, be forgiven, he loves you. And yet never call people to a life of repentance and change and the walk of holiness. And a true faith trusts and obeys. True faith follows Jesus, as costly as that is. My friends, if we're following Jesus, don't doubt that's going to change the way you think, the way you love, the way you live out your sexuality, the way you work, the way you give, the way you spend, the things you watch and listen to. Don't doubt that all of life will need to be shaped by the Lord Jesus and his truth and his word. The path of discipleship is by faith alone in Christ alone, and is a life of bowing the knee to his ways, not mine. Clearly spoken to us through the Bible. And that's a daily way of living. Your way, not mine, Lord. It's a daily way of living. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord God who made us. He knows what's best for us. Will you deny self, disown self, and follow him? But friends, that is the path to eternal hope and joy and blessing. It's easy to doubt, isn't it, sometimes, that it's really worth following Jesus. The devil wants us to think that to know Jesus and follow him is life-denying. That it's not good to deny yourself. That it's damaging to live by God's ways and his word. But don't be deceived. Save your life now, Jesus says, by rejecting Jesus, and you might gain the whole world. It's wealth, it's applause, it's love. But reject Jesus. You will lose your life eternally. But lose your life now by trusting Jesus as your crucified and risen Saviour and Lord. And give your life to loving and obeying him. And there is great blessing that leads to eternal salvation. Friends, this is life. Knowing God, knowing Jesus, knowing he loves us and he lost his life to save us, now and forever. What a challenging, what a glorious vision to live by from King Jesus. Or to start living by today, or to recommit ourselves to. Save your life and you'll ultimately lose it. Lose your life by following the King, and you will save it. Let me pray for us all. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Father, we are weak, but you are strong. We cannot save ourselves, but you gave Jesus to save us. Help us to trust him and follow him, to daily deny self and trust our glorious Saviour and King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.